I wonder how many of you have ever been in a hurry at the grocery store. I find that every time I'm in the grocery store, I'm in a hurry. And apparently everybody else is there the same day. If I'm lucky enough to get a parking spot that I don't have to walk a mile for, I get in there and you know how the rows are just full of people. And it's as though they don't know what they're doing, right? We go with a list. We know exactly what we're going to get. In fact, we very seldom deviate from our list. But there are so many people that don't have a clue as to what they're going to get. Now, it even gets deeper than that. They begin to question the ingredients in each product that they're going to buy. If it wasn't clogged enough, they're straining their eyes to see if this food product has the right stuff. If it doesn't, it goes back on the shelf. Or if it does, it goes in their buggy. See, it's important for our food to have the right stuff in it for our health. Have you ever thought about the spiritual aspect of the right stuff? See, if we don't have the right stuff in us, we won't be able to do much good in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what is the right stuff? You might ask. Well, to find the right stuff for the life of a Christian, you don't have to look much further than the life of Jesus. The Bible says Jesus went around doing good. But what was the active ingredient, or what is the right stuff that Jesus had? I think it's easy to identify. The active ingredient, the right stuff in Jesus, was compassion. Now, depending on the translation, there are between 50 and 60 verses in the New Testament that talk about Jesus being moved with compassion. That's what we're going to talk about this month. Compassion is the right stuff. So what is compassion? Compassion is sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. Now, far too many people think that compassion is feeling someone else's pain or misfortune. But that's only one part of it. Don't fool yourself. It's not compassion unless you have the desire to alleviate it. I would submit to you that it must be a strong desire to alleviate the problem for it really to be compassion. I want you to hear this loud and clear. Jesus did not have conditional compassion, and neither should we. We've all gotten used to the excuse, and we've all used this excuse when Jesus poses as an opportunity for us to show compassion. Well, I don't feel led by God to do that. And that's usually a sign of conditional compassion. Or maybe this, okay, Jesus, I'll show compassion when it's convenient, when I feel like it, when I have time, and when I don't have anything else pressing. So many instances that we see Jesus pouring out compassion on others is when he was on the way somewhere. How many times have we used the excuse to not show compassion because we're headed somewhere? Oh, how I'm thankful that Jesus stopped and showed me compassion as he was on his way somewhere. What if we lived our lives concentrating on cultivating and displaying the right stuff? Don't you think we would make more impact for Jesus if we did that? Well, what if the church was known for compassion? Don't you think that the church would make more of an impact for Jesus? See, everything Jesus does is to alleviate the issues, the problems, the concerns that we face. There's no exception. And listen, if it was out of compassion, it was out of God's compassion that he sent Jesus in the first place. This will set the stage for us, John 3:16-17. For this is how God loved the world. The Amplified Version said, this is how God dearly loved and greatly prized the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. That is compassion. And Acts 3:26 reminds us it was for you, it was for us, that God raised up his servant and son, Jesus, and sent him to bless you, bless us, by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. That's compassion. In Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, to give his life as a ransom for many. We're part of the many. That's compassion. Luke chapter 4, Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Messiah, because he, meaning God, has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me, this is Jesus, he has sent Jesus to announce release, pardon, and forgiveness to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, those who are downtrodden, those who are bruised or crushed by tragedy, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the favor of God abound greatly. Now that's compassion. See, out of God's compassion for mankind, he sent Jesus. Out of God's sympathetic consciousness of mankind's distress, together with a desire to alleviate it, he sent Jesus. God knew the mess that we would get ourselves in. So he prepared a way for us to have the very best. Jesus spells it out very plain in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. That is compassion. Without the compassionate love and actions of Jesus, where would we be? I want to talk about the fact and the concept of being on the way and how that was so important to Jesus in his compassion dispensing. In a day that everything's busy, the concept of being aware of others' needs that are around us on our way is huge. I would venture to say that the majority of opportunities we are given to show compassion to others is while we're on the way. Meaning, we're not particularly looking for them, but they presented themselves in the midst of something we were already doing, headed to do, or wanted to do. We see Jesus doing this. Matthew 15, starting in verse 29. After Jesus returned, he walked along Lake Galilee, climbed a mountain, took his place, ready to receive visitors. Now, I don't know what that actually means, but just to relate with people. Now, I think it was this plan. They came, tons of them, bringing along the paralytic, the blind, the maimed, the mute, all sorts of people in need, and more or less threw themselves down at Jesus' feet to see what he would do with them. Well, he healed them. When people saw the mute speaking, the maimed healthy, the paralytics walking around, the blind looking around, they were astonished, and they let everybody know that Jesus was blazing alive among them. But Jesus wasn't finished with them. He called his disciples, and he says, I hurt for these people. For the 3 days now they've been with me, and now they have nothing to eat. I can't send them away without a meal. They probably collapse on the road. Can you see? As he was there just to relate to people, all of a sudden there became a need beyond the physical healings that he did that he wanted to alleviate. One that they had not even verbalized. His disciples said, but where in the deserted place, in this deserted place, are you going to dig up enough food for a meal? Jesus says, how much bread do you have? 7 loaves, they said, plus a few fish. At that, Jesus directed the people to sit down. He took the 7 loaves and the fish. After giving thanks, he divided it up, gave it to the people. Everyone ate. You probably know the story. They had all they wanted. It took 7 large baskets to collect the leftovers. Over 4,000 people ate their fill at that meal. After Jesus sent them away, he climbed in the boat and he crossed over to the Magdalene Hills. Kingdom work is compassion. And Jesus dispensed his compassion while he had other plans, while he was on the way. Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 35. Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives. And when he looked out over the crowd, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest. And he said to his disciples, "How few workers on your knees. Pray, for the harvest is at hand." Kingdom work is compassion. And Jesus dispersed it on his way. Matthew 8, starting in verse 23. Then he got in the boat, his disciples with him. The next thing they knew, they were in a severe storm. Waves were crashing into the boat, and he was sound asleep. How dare Jesus? Sound asleep. They roused him, pleading, "Master, save us, we're going to drown." And Jesus reprimanded them, "Why are you such cowards, such faint hearts?" Then he stood up. He told the wind to be silent, the sea to quiet down. Silence! The sea became as smooth as glass. The men rubbed their eyes, astonished. What's going on here? Wind and sea, stand up and take notice at his command. Listen, kingdom work is compassion. Jesus could have kept sleeping, but he was concerned about how the disciples were faring in this turbulence. He didn't have to wake up, but he did. Out of the compassion in his heart, he wanted to alleviate fear in their own lives, and he wanted to show them how strong he was. Not only do we see Jesus doing that, we see his disciples doing it. In Acts 3, starting in verse 1, one day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Peter and John were on their way to the temple for a prayer meeting. At the same time, there was a man crippled from birth being carried up. Every day he was sitting down at the temple gate, the one named Beautiful, to beg from those going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for a handout. Peter, with John at his side, looked at him, and he looked him straight in the eye and said, "Look here." He looked up, expecting to get something from them. When you tell someone, "Look at me," there, it's natural for them to expect something. And they were probably looking for them to reach into their pockets or reach into their satchel, but they didn't. Peter said, I don't have a nickel to my name, but what I do have, I'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. He grabbed him by the right hand and he pulled him up. In an instant, his feet and ankles became firm. He jumped to his feet and he walked. The man went to the temple with them, walking back and forth, dancing and praising God. One version says, leaping and praising God. Everyone saw him there walking around and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who sat begging at the temple's gate, Beautiful. They rubbed their eyes, astonished, scarcely believing what they were seeing. Kingdom work is compassion. And the disciples dispensed this on their way. We think the agenda that we have in the morning is the very, very, very most important priority around. But as you can see, Jesus can just whisper and give you a whole new priority. Peter and John didn't want to be late for the prayer meeting, but yet, on their way, they did some kingdom work. And Jesus wants us to do it too. Years ago, right after Susan and I got married, she married me with two little small sons, and they were about maybe 4 and 6 at this point. And one of the things that they always wanted to do was attend the carolining at the state capitol in December. We never were able to do it because we had Sunday night church. It was never an option. Don't even bother asking me. We got church. We're going to do that. Well, eventually, we stopped our Sunday night services. So, the very December, as we were coming up on after we had stopped that, we planned to attend. I think it was about 1987. We finally had a Sunday night free, and we were all excited. As we were fixing to leave the house, right before we walked out of the door, now this is way before cell phone, our home phone rang. A daughter of a family in our church called me in deep crisis. That phone call took so long that we missed the tree lighting ceremony altogether. We didn't get any of it. In the natural, yeah, we were a little bit disappointed. But there was much done in the kingdom of God that night. It was a desperate situation, and we saw Jesus do some awesome things. Listen, kingdom work is compassion, and we did this on the way. Now, I'd like to tell you that I get good at that, and I get better at that, and I do it every time. I don't. But here I did it well. I could have put her off. I could have let it go to the answer machine, but I didn't. Jesus tells us a story, a parable that underscores the value of compassion in Matthew 18, starting in verse 10. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hill and go out and search for the one that's lost? And if he finds it, I'll tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that didn't wander away. In the same way, it is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. Kingdom work is compassion. The shepherd did this on his way. He was in charge of 100. Saw one go off. Everybody would have understood, I'm not going to leave the 100 to do that. But there was kingdom work being done. What if Jesus didn't respond when he saw these needs? Just the ones we've talked about this morning. Well, what if Peter and John didn't respond when they saw this need? What if I hadn't responded when I was presented with that need? What if the shepherd hadn't responded to that lost sheep's need? Listen, doing the work of Jesus isn't a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday responsibility. Jesus paid too high of a price for us to have conditional compassion. Jesus paid too high a price for us to pick and choose who we will give compassion to. Jesus paid too high a price for us to be selective in when we're going to do this. Jesus paid too high a price for us not to have compassion and not to go after the one that's in danger or the one that's hurting or the one that's doing without. You fill in the blank. Now, I've shared this many times, but I distinctly remember the day I grasped the concept of compassion, that sympathetic conscientiousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. I was walking down Main Street like I'd done hundreds of times before, came upon a homeless man like I had seen 100 times before, but this time, it hit me to my core. And instead of thinking the harsh thought is, why don't you go get a job? I reached in my pocket and I gave him all the cash that I had. It wasn't much. But for the very first time, I was truly moved by compassion. Not feeling sorry. I wanted to alleviate the problem, which meant I had to do something. Jesus doesn't ignore needs in our life. He knows the needs that you have. And listen, it's the heart of Jesus as he looks at us and he's moved with compassion, and that just means that he's going to do something about it. That's what he wants us to do. Well, what if the church, and that's us collectively, were moved with compassion on the way? Can't you see how this would point people to Jesus? Can't you see how this would show people the love of Jesus? Can't you see how this would draw people to Jesus? Jesus is moved, not was moved, is moved with compassion, that sympathetic consciousness of our distress together with a desire to alleviate it while he is on the way. How about you? How about me? Two things. Number one, do you have the right stuff? Do you have compassion? I'm not saying asking if you have sympathy. I'm not asking if you can judge if someone has a problem or not. I'm asking, do you have the right stuff? Compassion. That sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. And the second thing is, will you dispense it on the way? It's not enough just to have it, but will you dispense it on the way? Do you have to know in advance so you can schedule compassion in? If that's true, it's probably not compassion. But God has a compassionate heart for us. And I want you to think about the shape you were in when he found you. He actually, you found him, really. He knew where you were all along. But I want you to think of your condition. And he left everybody else's need aside for a moment, and he handled what you needed. He helped you in your problem. See, kingdom work is compassion, and we are to dispense it on the way. It's not something that we're going to put in our agenda. I want to be compassionate today. No, it's a heart issue. And if you are where you should be with Jesus, you don't need it on your list. But we need to be reminded that even though we are on the way to church, or on the way to pray for so-and-so, or on the way to visit someone in the hospital, there might be something that we are to dispense compassion to on the way. If you take out every instance that Jesus was on the way with another plan or with a plan, if you take out every one of those, that would be a lot of problems not alleviated. But Jesus moves. And we're to duplicate that. Now, I know we're not Jesus, and I know we're not going to do it perfectly. But I can tell you that we better be getting better at this. If we're going to be moved by the things that move Jesus, compassion's the right stuff. And you've got to use the right stuff on the way. Because we're all on the way somewhere. We've all got plans this afternoon. We all got things that we want to get done. Maybe you're off tomorrow and you got a long list of things you want to get done. I'm a very project-oriented person and I got projects lined up. You can ask Susan, if I don't have projects on the day that I'm not in the office, I just feel like I've wasted a day. I will walk around the house looking for a project. She'll even say, what are your projects today? I said, I don't have one. She says, oh goodness. She knows how I am when I don't have a project. And she'll come up with some. She's good at it. And I want to please her. And I'll be compassionate and want to alleviate the problems that she might have because this stuff doesn't get done. But it's most likely going to happen when I'm on the way. I might have something in mind I want to do. But on the way, God wants to use you. On the way, God wants to use me. And I don't know how far in the parking lot you are, but you're going to walk in just a little bit from here to your car. And I wonder if you would consider, on the way to your car, what needs God would make available for you to help alleviate. Think about it. Most of them aren't that obvious. Somebody got a flat tire, it's pretty obvious. We're going to help change that flat. But why don't we ask God, I'm going, you know where I'm going today. This is my projects for today, but I give you these projects. And I want to be sensitive to what you're saying on the way. And I can't tell you that he's always going to give you something. But I can tell you that it sharpens our spiritual ears when we ask that question and we intently listen. Because God wants none to perish, all to come to repentance. He wants to alleviate the pain in people's lives, and he might use you. You might not have what they're asking for, but you can give them something that God has given you. And it's going to likely happen as you are on the way. If you wait until you can factor it in and that's nothing else going to do, I bet you won't even do it then. We have to pay attention on the way. God can use us. And I don't know what's going to happen today after you leave this place, but if you will tune your spiritual ears, you will find that he wants to use you. It may be something very, very little. It may be something huge. The size of the issue is not the problem, not the issue at all. It's the obedience. We're so thankful that Jesus, on his way, found us. Or we found him while he was on his way, and he did his work. So how about you? Do you have the right stuff? And will you dispense it on the way? Let's pray. Heavenly Father.